Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
The baseball season is way too long.
The game is way too slow.
It's so boring to watch.
Shut up. Get your peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and IPAs ready. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
Swing and a long drive, deep to right.
Covering all things baseball.
Going, going.
The big leagues.
Going, going.
And the MLB to Portland.
Goodbye. He has done it. He has changed the game of the night with one swing of his bat.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Mike Lynch on 1080.
Bang, zoom, go the fireworks.
The Fan.
I don't know, but this
welcome into the Hot Corner After Dark edition for show. As it's today is a Wednesday, right?
As it's always a Wednesday.
Oh, man. I have had trouble with days, my friends.
Well, you have been out gallivanting around the Northwest. As I think the way I said it on the show last week, you're gallivanting.
Out and a boot.
Oot and a boot.
Oot and a boot. Yeah, man.
You were in Idaho. You were in Montana. You
I've
were in
been
Washington.
Everywhere.
In like seven places in Washington. And now you're back in Oregon.
Yeah. I got back earlier today.
You got some food. You got some beer.
Got some food. Got some beer.
Happy to have real beer again, I imagine.
You know, I'll tell you, Montana was tough. We'll dive into this on the Beers on Us podcast that'll drop tomorrow around 4 o'clock. But the beer in Montana was tough. The beer in Spokane was surprisingly good. And Seattle.
The beer in Leavenworth was German.
and Seattle. Seattle did Seattle things.
Good. Yeah. There you go.
I'm kind of all over the place.
Did you get a chance to consume our wonderful fall classic?
Oh, the baseball. That's what we do here. I did. A lot of Dan Schulman in my life, which I have no issue with.
Dan Schulman is greatness.
I wish I could have Dan on TV and radio at the same time. So no matter what format I'm watching, I get Dan Schulman.
Gotcha.
And you know what? Mendoza wasn't so bad on the radio.
Okay.
I've kind of banged on her a little bit over the years.
You wish.
Thanks, Joe.
That was also my first thought, so thank you, Joe.
You know, and I'm not the biggest Chris Singleton fan either, but I thought the three of them were very, very good.
That's good.
I enjoyed the three of them.
You know, and now thinking about the setting that you were in, listening to AM radio, World Series call.
Having to drive 40 miles to towns just so I can get service.
Yeah, something tells me that must have felt like weirdly like peaceful. Driving, seeing the landscape, the big skylands, and having that crackly AM radio and getting baseball over it. Like, I'm just putting myself in your shoes in that car seat and that truck seat, rather. And
yeah.
Just like, that must have been nice. Nice and peaceful.
Yeah, pulled over at Crescent Lake up in the Olympics when they pulled Blake Snell, which I'm sure will have a few takes on at some point today because I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And I got out of the truck and I looked around and I went, this makes total sense. Very, very beautiful place. I didn't even snap a picture of it, so my apologies on that. But it was a cool trip. I really enjoyed it. I had fun. Idaho, a couple days. Montana, a couple days. Washington for a lot of days. It was fun.
Cool.
But yes, the Fall Classic was definitely...
You picked an interesting time to leave.
Yeah.
Based on... us doing a baseball show and that being your favorite sport.
I know. I think as I was leaving, I was like, okay, guys, and enjoy the series. I'll see you when I get back.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, there were times where I drove into town to watch games, you know, where I was staying in Idaho. I didn't have enough service. So I drove 50 miles to watch a Rays Astros game.
Okay.
I think so. Trying to remember.
I always knew when you were in service and watching the game because you would text me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, hey.
Oh, hey, dude, what's up? Yeah, so all
you're
in
alive.
All,
that's good. That's good.
All in all, I had a really enjoyable World Series. It is one of my favorite, if not my favorite thing every single year is to watch the World Series, or in this case, listen to the World Series. And it's kind of crazy to do, you know, when you don't have as much access as you normally do.
Yeah, I was just, that's what I was most curious about, because it's not like you were just going to multiple cities and just kind of experimenting with new places. Like, no, you were going out into the woods.
Yeah, and the worst part is the days that I was, like, guaranteed to be full on in service, there was no game on.
You really didn't plan this very well.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have, you know what the schedule was going to be. You could have planned it opposite.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, like... ooh, I'm really glad that this kind of happened, although it really sucked at the same time. I was on the San Juan Islands. I'm in Friday Harbor, and I'm waiting in line to get on the ferry. And when you get on the ferry is an hour long with no service, and there's no TVs or anything like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm sitting in line, and the ferry is supposed to pick me up at 7:50, and it's 8:15, and I'm like, where the hell is this ferry? Pull up my phone, get on WSDOT, and it's like, this ferry is going to be 60 to 100 minutes late. I was like, are you kidding me?
100.
I was just at a brewery. I was at San Juan Brewing, a little small favorite of mine, and was sitting there watching the game, having some food. I was like, well, I got to go. Got to go catch this ferry. I'm going to miss the game for an hour.
Don't tell me this was game four.
This is game four.
Patrick.
And so I am sitting.
You poor soul.
I am sitting in line waiting to get on the ferry. The ferry doesn't board until about 10 minutes after Randy Rosarena scores that game-winning run. Mm. I sat in the truck listening on the radio.
There you go, at least.
Like, banging on the steering wheel, slapping the glass of the truck. People are looking at me like, what is wrong with this guy? They probably thought I was watching, like, the Michigan-Minnesota game. And I'm like, no way! This is crazy!
There were just three errors on the play, and the Rays won, and oh my God!
And I sat down, I looked around, I was like, anybody want to talk about this? And no, not at all.
I think the Joe Buck call was great because, and
I caught zero Joe Buck.
He was fantastic. Okay. I will say, I mean, I know he gets a bad rap.
How was Smoltz? Because I like Smoltz.
They were both good. It was a good broadcasting duo for the series. I don't know if you put it in the system, Joe, on Sunday, or if you just played it off the computer. Do you have the Joe Buck call? Because you should let Patrick hear it, because that is... It's a good call. He knew a Rosarena fell, so it adds to the intensity a little bit too. So when Joe plays it, you'll picture it like you were listening to it in the radio, but now with Joe Buck doing it instead.
Two strikes. Jansen. That is into center field. Here comes Kiermaier. Phillips has tied the game. A Rosarena coming around. Throw home. Stumbles, but the ball gets away. Tampa Bay wins it. Brett Phillips, game four hero.
Flying around in the outfield. Yeah, it's a great. I got chills.
It's a good call.
I got chills listening to the call.
Nice job, Joe. Your dad is proud.
I think every baseball fan in that moment, every sports fan really, who at least cares a little bit about baseball, had a visceral reaction to that play.
Yeah.
You said you were in the truck banging the windows, banging the steering wheel. I was just sitting on the couch. I stood up and went, oh my God, as loudly as I could, like three times. And I was just, these aren't teams I care about.
Right.
But it was an incredible game that ended in the most insane way. And I just sat there. I was in shock. I went and found every replay I could, and I watched it for an hour as if it was my team. But it wasn't. That's how crazy it was.
Well, I was at the beckoning of you know, the great Dan Shulman. A good reason to listen to Toronto Blue Jays games if you're bored.
Hey, Patrick, as was I listening to Shulman when that play happened. So I'm like, man, that sounded crazy. Maybe I should try and find a replay of
that. Yeah, I know. And I'm getting text messages from people that are like, wait till you see the replay. This is insane. And so I'm with Shulman.
I think I said that.
And he is in the studio in Bristol, in Connecticut, at ESPN. He has no idea that a Rosarena fell down. So he makes the call. And I'm like, thinking to myself, what the hell just happened? How is a Rosarena, because he calls it, he says a Rosarena in a rundown and the ball gets loose and a Rosarena scores. And I'm like, how does the ball get loose? He didn't know he fell down.
Yeah.
I didn't know he fell down until later, and Shulman's catching his breath like, okay, let's back this up a minute. This is what went down.
That's why I think the Buck call is so great. It's a Rosarena rounding third, and he stumbles, and the ball gets away.
Yeah.
It's
pretty good.
After watching that play, also, I was like, man, the Rays have to win this series now, and then last night happened.
Then they lost the next two games.
I'm like, well, especially after last night, I was like, man, they really don't deserve to win this anymore.
It's too bad nobody could get in the call, and Kenley Jansen is standing there doing nothing for probably his last appearance ever in a Dodger uniform.
Well, what he did, there was a great camera shot. I think it was just one continuous cut. And I believe MLB posted it on their Twitter account, and it was like all the emotions from that last play. And it starts on Jansen, of course. Jansen fell to his knees when the single went into center.
I saw that, yeah.
He just collapsed.
He was like, oh my God, I blew it.
Again.
I'm a Dodger bullpen guy.
And he just collapsed to his knees. So the emotion of the moment got to him, and he just wasn't ready after that point. I'm not saying it's not his fault. I don't know if Rosarena's out. If he's backing it up, he might be.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if he's out. I think he makes it. I don't think Jansen gets it to Will Barn or Will Smith fast enough.
Yeah. Unless a Rosarena was going back to third and sees Jansen backing up and doesn't even try to score when the ball gets away, which is possible.
Randy was watching that play.
Yeah.
Boy, and we'll be watching Randy for a while. Hopefully.
Terrified.
You should be terrified. Hey, who knows, man? Maybe he'll play left field for you someday. Oakley Doakley, well, we got a loaded show for us today. Thank you for joining us. It's good to be back. How does this start? Right, we're going to talk baseball for the day. Yep. There's social media, Mike Lynch 27, Twitter, PDiddy085, Instagram, JoeFish3FISCH, Twitter.
Instagram.com/BeersOnUs.
Beers on Us podcast will drop tomorrow. There's the fan text line, 503-250-1080. Booyah! You can text us, harass us. We love it. I like this. Harris quit smoking or yelling. He sounds healthy. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I feel healthy.
I think it's because you went on a sabbatical for 2 weeks.
Yeah, man. I feel great. Yeah, no smoking, no yelling. No, we good, baby. We just chilling. All right, we got a lot to get to. Dodgers win the World Series in 6 games over the Tampa Bay Rays. I don't know where we'll start. I think I got a pretty good idea where we'll start.
We know where we're starting.
We'll start with starting pitching debates in Game 6 of the World Series here on the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
.718 here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Don't you forget it. Just because we sit here on 1080, I'd like to give a small shout out to 910 as well. Our little baby across the street there.
Is that a street?
Sure.
I thought it was a hallway.
Yeah.
Okay. People street, drive. Hallway, it's a thing.
I drive down it all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Does your truck really fit in here?
No, I drive on my feet, like Flintstones.
Ah.
But just a little shout out. Caught a little streaming from that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't want to deal with the ESPN app. I just pulled up radio.com and hit the 910 and was like, and I'm done. Made things easy.
Let's just say that the radio.com app was not holding up too well in Safeway when I was doing my grocery shopping Saturday night. And,
It was great constantly and never broke?
Of course.
That happened.
Best app ever.
Totally didn't have to use the ESPN app.
I had something
at all.
I had something like that happen to me at Fred Meyer the day Kobe died. I get a text from my buddy who's like, bro, Kobe Bryant just died. I'm like, what? This is garbage. Pulled out my phone, started like Google searching things, and it's just like, nope, you're in a vortex of no service. And I'm like, what? No, I'm at the self-checkout line. I'm turning to my girlfriend. I'm like, hurry up. The woman who, like, you know how they have like a person.
Yeah, just in case the little light starts flashing.
Yeah. I was like, babe, we got to go. Like, Kobe died and I got no service. And she goes, my brother just texted me that. I was like, did he give you other info? I need something, lady. Anyway, Wild Game 6 last night. And I guess that's where we will begin.
As we should.
I mean, there's so much to talk about.
Well, let's start with the obvious. The one that we are all probably most passionate about. And that is Kevin Cash is a gigantic raging idiot.
That I'm glad Corey Seager won the MVP and not Clayton Kershaw. Is that where we're starting?
No.
Okay. So, Blake Snell.
I'm also glad.
Blake Snell's pitched 5 1/3 innings, 2 hits, shutout.
Gives up a single for a second hit.
Dealing.
To 9-hitter Austin Barnes.
Kevin Cash decides to pull the man. And much to the chagrin of Blake Snell.
And everybody else. Outside of the Dodgers hitters.
Puts in Nick Anderson, who's a great reliever, but has not been great in the postseason.
Not at all.
And proceeds to make it 2-1 very quickly.
Yep. Gives up a double Mookie Betts. Wild pitch scores a run. Ground ball scores the other run. And that was all they needed.
Yeah. And so that leads us to here. That leads us to this. I don't know if necessarily we need to talk about if Cash made the right decision or not.
Yes,
I think we're all in agreement that Cash did not make the right decision.
That is true.
I don't want to get into analytics place in baseball.
Well, you're cutting off potential avenues here. So where would you like to go, Patrick?
I would like to go with Corey Seager being the MVP of the World Series. I'm just joking. All right. Cash made a poor decision. And I said this yesterday. I ended up posting this on Facebook, which is funny because I never post on Facebook. I understand why Cash pulled him.
Okay.
Snell's numbers are pretty rough third time through.
As are most starters.
But Snell specifically this year has been really rough.
I believe the average against was like 307. OPS was like 950 or something third time through.
Yeah. And ERA is like 8, something like that. And I think if Barnes doesn't get on base, it's not as scary. But with Barnes getting on base and then he's got to face Betts, Seager, somehow Turner's in this game.
We'll get to that.
I think that scared Cash. That it's like Betts can do damage, but if Betts hits a home run or Seager hits a home run, at least there's not already a guy on. So I understand why he pulled him. However, it was the wrong move and I wouldn't have done it.
Okay. I also understand the thought process behind pulling him. I don't understand why he pulled him. The one thing that enraged me the most about this, like I said, I don't care about these teams, but this really frustrated me. I made sure to stick around. I flipped to MLB Network because I knew Fox was going to have their postgame ceremony stuff. And I wanted to hear Kevin Cash's postgame.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Cash's comments were such BS.
And I haven't heard any of this because I've been driving since
Kevin Cash.
Like 8:30 this morning. So I don't know anything.
Kevin Cash basically said, do I regret it? Now that I look back on it, yes, because it didn't work, but I trust the process. And he said, I understand those of you who disagree with me, but I think I made the right choice. And that line frustrated me so much. I understand those of you who disagree with me. Really? And then the worst of it, he goes, someone asked, was the plan always to take Snell after the second time through the lineup? And he goes, there was no plan, which is such a load of BS. If there was no plan, you're leaving Blake Snell in the game.
True.
He walked out the second Mookie Betts was coming up.
76 pitches.
One out, 76 pitches, a runner on first base.
They already struck out Betts twice, and Seager twice.
And Seager twice, and Turner twice.
That guy Turner's playing?
Six at-bats from the top three guys in the lineup. KK, KK, KK. And you pull Blake Snell. And you put in Nick Anderson, who may have been your best reliever all year, but has been a dumpster fire in the playoffs so far and has given up a run in every appearance he's appeared in, basically.
Well, that just came in on the
Since the ALCS, at least.
That just came in on the fan text line. 503-250-1080. Even if you pull Snell, you have to pitch a lefty to Betts because Betts hit 200 against lefties and 323 against righties.
Oh, and you know who else is a lefty? Corey Seager.
Yeah.
It is such an unforgivable decision from Kevin Cash, in my opinion.
Well,
I understand that the Rays were built on analytics. I understand that the Rays got here following that guideline, mm-hmm. right? The Rays have been the most analytic-driven team in baseball for years.
Yeah.
And we praise them for it, as they should be praised. But have some GD feel in a postseason game when you know your offense can't hit. You know you're not scoring runs.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to win is if your best pitcher, Blake Snell, keeps pitching like he is, 9 strikeouts through 5 1/3 innings. And this was my final take, and I said this on primetime today. There are people debating it, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, this was not a borderline decision. And the reason this was not a borderline decision was because the second Kevin Cash walked out of the dugout, every single person watching the game said, "What the F are you doing?" If Kevin Cash left Blake Snell in the game, let's say he gets Mookie Betts out, Corey Seager hits a double, run scores because he's running on contact, ties the game, maybe you pull him, you bring in Anderson, another run scores, and it's 2-1. Is Kevin Cash getting killed for leaving Blake Snell in the game? No. Because he stayed with his starter, he stayed with his ace, he got one guy out, it didn't work out, but he's not getting killed for it. And that's why it was the wrong decision. If he's getting killed either way, then okay, it's a 50-50 decision. But he's not going to get killed if he leaves Blake Snell in the game.
Well, Mike, and wasn't I just saying last week, and I believe it was after game one, they took out Tyler Glasnow. I mean, and he hasn't been good in the World Series playoffs
really
at all.
Did let Tyler Glasnow pitch till his arm fell off.
But I was just saying last week,
too.
When we were talking, and like, yes, the analytics is what got the Rays there because that team, that's kind of what they have to pull. But I was saying, I was like, I'm kind of a fan of letting your horses ride. You have these great pitchers. And Glasnow and Blake Snell, a Cy Young winner. And at this time in the year, what is the point of, maybe we should be careful. It's like, dude, this is his last game of the year. Plain and simple. It's game 6. He's not going to pitch in game 7.
And it's not like your bullpen's been pitching well anyway.
Right.
Yes, it's your strength for the season. But right now, your strength is the guy who just struck out 9 Dodgers hitters in 5 1/3 innings and has given up 2 hits.
Looking filthy. And yeah, and I believe the 3 guys that were up, he struck out, twice every single time.
And the other note, too, sorry, Pat, I know you want to jump in, is I was watching MLB Network. They had Mookie Betts on. And Greg Amsinger asks him, "What were you thinking when they pulled Blake Snell?" And Mookie Betts said, "Thank God."
Mm-hmm.
I was so happy because he was dominating us. And it's like, you gave the Dodgers hope.
Yep.
And you lost because of it.
That's part of where I was going to go. I mean, I heard a quote from Dave Roberts who said he looked over at after once Cash came out of the dugout and pulled Snell, he looked over at Mookie and Mookie looked back at him and just kind of smiled. It was kind of like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
And then there was a thing with him and Bellinger mm-hmm. where he looked at him and was like, "Oh, we just said we got to get Snell out after the 6th. And they did.
So I'm with you guys. I think Cash made the wrong choice. I am not going to bang on him. I don't think it is a never-ending decision. In hindsight, does it look bad? Yeah, it looks bad. But I also watched probably the greatest pitcher I have ever seen pitch.
Pedro.
Convince his manager to stay in and get lit. And your back's against the wall. I don't think Cash made the decision out of poor information or poor intention. I think Cash was fighting for his life. And I think he was afraid that Snell was going to give it up. Did he make the wrong call? He made the wrong call. I'm not saying you're wrong. I am just not going to ride Cash for this. It's a bad call. It was a bad move for sure. But I've seen Kershaw stay out too late. I've seen Pedro stay out too late, and it's prevented them from World Series. Pedro stayed out late, and the next time he pitched in Yankee Stadium in the playoffs, the entire place chanted, "Who's your daddy?" Like, I've seen this story before the other way around.
If Kevin Cash was fighting for his life, you do what you're not normally going to do, right? You change your decision-making process. Kevin Cash's decision-making process has always been, third time through the lineup this year especially, the guy's out, especially Snell. Snell has not gone very long in games. But if you're fighting for your life, you don't stick to the script.
There was no script.
So he says, BS. You sit there and you go, what's happening right now? Who am I going to bring in? I'm going to bring in Nick Anderson, who has a 7 ERA in the postseason, has given up a run in 9 straight appearances.
Man, that probably wasn't the right choice.
Oh, I'm going to bring in Fairbanks.
I would have liked to see Castillo in that spot.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring in this guy. Or with one runner on first and a ground ball double play ending the inning, and my former Cy Young winner, and a guy who has 9 strikeouts, and a guy who only has 76 pitches, I'm going to let him go out there and try to get at least one more out, right? That would be fighting for your life. That would be Kevin Cash giving the middle finger to the analytics and saying, right now, this is the right decision. And instead, he instantly, he didn't go up to Blake Snell and say, hey, how you feeling? Do you want to stay in the game? It was, give me the ball, you're out. It's so maddening. I love analytics. I think they're great for baseball.
I don't.
But there's a balance that you have to strike. Use the information given to you and then be a GD manager like you are. It's frustrating.
2 weeks ago, we sat on this program and called Kevin Cash one of the best managers in baseball.
He is. But that was a terrible mistake.
Right. And that's why I'm not ready to bang on him. If this is Dave Roberts, if this is Aaron Boone,
we did bang on Dave Roberts 2 years ago.
Yeah. Because he made poor decisions. But he also
manages bullpen.
He doesn't have a track record like Kevin Cash does. Kevin Cash has proven time in and time out that he is a fantastic manager.
I just wanted Kevin Cash so bad to, in the postgame presser, own up to it and say, I messed up.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He came out with this BS thing. It's like, dude.
Ride or die, baby.
You just cost yourself the series.
Hey, ride or die. You felt good about it.
It's annoying.
You're real fired up. You sound like you don't have a team in the American League East.
I was just annoyed.
Yeah.
Because maybe some of it is because I'm annoyed that Aaron Boone follows it too much. You know? Like, I want him to be a little bit more feel versus just analytics only, following the binder, right? Kevin Cash has a binder too. They all do now. And the one thing is Harold Reynolds said in the postgame, because it was funny. It was him and Amsinger were at the stadium, and Amsinger goes, we want to give the Dodgers credit, but all we want to do is talk about the Snell decision. And HR goes, well, we'll talk about that in a second, but I just wanted to say this. That was unforgivable, is what HR said. It was either that or it was a word that was as extreme as that. He was like, that is the worst possible decision you could have made. And it's like, and then he went on to say the front offices want too much power. They're injecting themselves into the manager's job by giving them all the analytics and the binders, and they're just saying this is what you do, and it's happening all over baseball.
Well, that's what Buster Olney said, that the decision on, like, bullpen games for the Dodgers and Snell in Game 6, that there were a lot of cooks in that kitchen, that it wasn't just manager stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how this plays out going forward, if there's lessons to be learned, which there are, but if they will follow. Before we get into a bunch of other stuff, I do want to take a cue from HR and the kids at MLB Network, and I do want to talk a lot of positivity about the Dodgers before I completely destroy them. Does that sound all right?
Why would you destroy them? They just won the World Series. Oh, Justin Turner.
Yes, okay, yes, okay. Yes. So
deservedly,
I was like,
so.
Are you serious?
Yes, yes. So I'd like to.
I'm in a blind rage.
We've been really
I'm
hard.
Not thinking clearly.
We've been really hard on the Dodgers for the last 4 years on this show. So I'd like to take an opportunity to at least acknowledge some great things that they had done. We'll do all that next. But first, there's Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah!
Excuse me, he looks really hot.
Sunshine moment.
7:38. We're talking baseball. If you like football, Niasgoda has 2 goals for the Timbers right now, as they're up 2-0 in the 28th against the LA Galaxy.
The basement dwellers themselves.
The basement dwellers. I got to throw this out because I just think it's a really funny stat. I saw that Galaxy have played 4 more games than the Colorado Rapids, because they have the COVID, lots of COVID, and they still have less points than Colorado. That's wild to me, man. 4 less games.
And it's the LA Galaxy, too.
And it's the LA Galaxy. Yeah, man. They got good players.
Do they?
No. Might take that back.
They used to.
Yeah, man, they got Roy Keane and David Beckham and...
Yeah. Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Zlatan. Oh, I love Zlatan. He's scoring goals for AC Milan.
Yes, he
God,
is.
I love that terrible human being. All right, I do want to take this opportunity to kind of reminisce a little bit on this World Series for a second. I will say that it is pretty wild that we are talking about a World Series champion. You know, we'll just get that out of the way because I think I was very pessimistic about this whole thing in the very beginning. So I'm very excited that I got to watch 6 games of a World Series. On top of that, it's a pretty damn good World Series.
It was a very good World Series that included maybe one of the best World Series games of all time.
Yeah, like not a pretty good World Series. That's a damn good World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll put that up there. 2017 was great. A little tarnished. A lot tarnished.
There were some great games, though, yeah.
16, obviously, is probably going to, you know, I got a little recency bias in that. As Diego Valeri scores a 3rd goal.
Ooh. Penalty.
It was a rout. 16 was good. 2011, I love the David Freese home run. That was a really good series.
There's been a lot of good ones, man.
2001, sorry, Mike. Great World Series.
Best of all time, in my opinion.
I would agree. 97, also great.
Giants-Angels was pretty good, right?
It went 7, but yeah. It was really just watching if Bonds was going to walk or hit a dinger. That's really all it was. Yeah, everybody was like, this steroid guy. Meanwhile, Troy Glaus is at 3rd going, yeah, he's on steroids. Pay no attention to me. Ooh, MVP. Thank you, sir. But this was a pretty damn good World Series. There's a lot of great narrative. We had coming out parties. We had controversial coaching decisions. We had demons, you know.
Being exercised.
Walk-off hits. You know, the emergence of Randy Arozarena was really cool to watch.
Yep.
Corey Seager being the World Series MVP was something that I got a lot out of because I've been very high on Seager. And he came in and was hot, had a little bit of slump, had the Tommy John, so seemed kind of out, like nowhere to be found sort of thing, and really came to play this postseason.
We also now have a new favorite lovable baseball player, G-Man Choi.
And G-Man Choi.
People love G-Man Choi. He's the new Bartolo. He's pudgy and he's great.
Doing the splits at first, digging out, you know, low throws. Like, there was a lot of really cool things. Not to mention, you know, I'm not going to start praising, but I'm going to kind of stop banging Dave Roberts. I thought Dave Roberts managed a hell of a game last night.
He finally stopped trusting Jansen.
Yeah.
Game four was the final straw.
But it wasn't just that. It was leaving Alex Wood out for an extra inning. Riding Urias through the whole postseason. I thought Roberts.
That dude is legit, by the way.
I thought Roberts.
And he's a starter, don't forget.
Yes. I thought Roberts did a fantastic job. I was excited to see the role players like Chris Taylor do some cool things. And I love that Austin Barnes started almost every game once they realized how important it was to have him behind the plate. I thought that was a really good move. And for the most part, I thought Cash did a pretty damn good job too, with the exception of, you know, the one missed call in game 6. This was good. This was a baseball fans World Series. And for that, I thank you.
In a year that
Kershaw looked good. Walker Buehler, get the heck out of here. He looks good. Woo!
Except for those stupid tight pants.
Whatever. I don't care, dude. Throw that heater, man.
Take those off.
Well, they're tight, man. He needs them. It's just so
does pops. Does he need that?
Yeah, dude.
I feel like that restricts movement.
Oh man, I don't care. As long as you place.
Are you aroused right now?
I am very aroused right now. As long as that placement of that fastball and just kind of.
In a year that I didn't think would finish, it was a great World Series to finish on.
Yeah.
Generally, a pretty good playoffs as well. I enjoyed the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know they were expanded, and frankly, that was stupid, and we saw a lot of bad baseball in the first round because of it.
But yeah, I don't want to see that again.
Otherwise, from second round on, you know, like when the playoffs were normal again, it was good. You got good baseball. You got some interesting series. You got a couple of decisive games. It was important. It was good.
World Series was so fun that I forgot that the Braves and the Astros were in the other LCS. I forgot they were the other teams.
You forgot the Braves blew a 3-1 lead to the Dodgers.
I did. I forgot that the Astros came back and forced a game 7. I forgot all about that because I was so enamored with this. I thought this was so fun.
I sometimes struggle when the Yankees get eliminated in the playoffs to keep watching the playoffs.
Oh, really? I'm the opposite.
Initially, I will always go back to it, but that first like week or so, I'm like, I don't want to watch it.
Every time the Tribe goes out, I'm just like, all right, free baseball. Here we go.
This year.
Crack a beer. Sit back.
I think when the World Series started, I think game 1 I missed most of. because I was still kind of in that rut of like, oh boy. And then I turned it on late and I was like instantly sucked in. And I was like, okay, I'm in. And games 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I watched, I mean, not exactly start to finish, but I watched most of all of those games. And I was sucked right back in.
It was cool.
So I was happy that the series was good enough to do that to me, because I do struggle when my team gets eliminated to keep pushing through, because it just makes me sad. You know, I don't want to be sad.
We can get John on next week.
Dad. I didn't talk to him yet.
We should get John on next week.
We're moving to 8 to 10 next week.
Okay. Can we not get John on?
Well, he might come in. Okay. I think he's coming that late.
All right. 8 to 10.
Yeah, duck season's starting again.
All right.
Yes, Ducks coaches, so Wednesday, 7 to 8.
The football.
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 And here comes Mario Cristobal to talk into a microphone from 7 to 8 p.m.
Golf
Wednesday nights through the football season.
All right, when we come back,
Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch will move to 8 to 10 p.m. until the end of the football season.
Please don't make the Pac-12 championship. Please don't make the Pac-12 championship. All right, when we come back, we got to talk about the ugly elephant in the room. And boy, Joe, keep your fingers on that dumb button, baby. I might be pulling a Sucanic before you know it. Nothing? Everybody's just chilling.
I think you just call it a Patrick.
Yeah, it's a good reference. Happened today.
No, I will be on my best behavior as just when we thought we were out of it, they pull you back in. Some COVID news related to the World Series. We'll do that next. The Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is The Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Before we jump into Justin Turner and the Dodgers and MLB and...
Who's Justin Turner?
What was that? I got this tweet from Ryan Sherwood, P1 of my Twitter, probably a P1 of the station.
Holla, Ray.
He tweeted, I have been a Rays fan since they were born. This was about the cash call. And that was a potentially relationship-destroying decision. The moment he made that call, I knew they lost it. The closest chance to World Series championship against a superior, way more expensive team. Cash can kiss my big toe. Very specific. But
just
that's a Rays
the big
fan.
One.
That's a
maybe
Rays
he's
fan
got. Maybe he's got one of those like snaggle toe kind of things going on. It's like
snaggle toe.
It's like
it's got like a weird like side bend. Because
no,
like,
no.
The bonus
maybe there's a corn on it or something.
No, that he like. I've got a buddy who's got a really disgusting big toe because he's like he played soccer his whole life. And he has broken that nail so many times that it's like receded back and it's just this gnarly looking thing. I wouldn't touch that.
You know what?
I would touch many other things on him before I touch that.
The last thing I'll say about that Blake Snell decision is the manager of the Portland Rays would have never. Okay.
That is true. That is true. The Portland Rays would have never done that.
Never
pulled
a move like that.
I don't know if there's anything like my team has a racist mascot and I haven't given up on them. I don't know if there's a call a manager can make in the World Series that would make me just bail on my team.
I don't know if
we also have Terry Francona.
I don't know if your mascot has killed one of my everyone's childhood hero, basically Steve Irwin, though.
That is true.
Yeah.
So. They had to drop the devil rays.
We need to disassociate with
them
as much as possible.
Sherp derp.
That's when the franchise became good, but maybe if they add devil back, that's what'll push them over the top.
Well, they had those hats with, you know, with the old, it was a huge ray on it.
Yeah, they were the old school
so
hats.
So big.
I was very happy about that.
I was looking at Tyler Glass now thinking, man, I don't know if I like that hat or the hair or what. Poor Tyler Glass now.
He really bombed.
Yeah, I was telling you in the break, like I kept hearing things because I listen to Buster Olney's podcast every morning that he does one. And it sounds like everybody was talking about that he just couldn't calm down. The stage was too big and he couldn't just collect himself and really focus because he was throwing hard. And he had moments where he looked really good.
He was very wild, though.
But he just couldn't. Yeah, he couldn't keep anything in the zone, and it was all over the place, and people just stopped swinging, and his pitch count went through the roof. That's the other thing that people were kind of banging on Cash about. It's like, you pull Snell at 76, but you left Glasnow out there to die. You know, he was getting hit around, and he's at 85, and Cash is just like, keep going, baby.
Yeah.
Keep going. Got to like
to get to the second time through the order to finish up. Then
yeah,
I'll take you out.
Got him to like 115 or something.
There was no plan. So frustrating. Man,
I wish I was a major league manager.
Because you'd be the best ever?
No, but I just don't want to.
Sorry, that's Terry Francona.
I just don't. I would be the worst because it would be gut all the time. I'd walk out to the mound, be like, well, Rocket, you know, you've been good this game, Clemens, but, you know, it's time to go. I'm not going. Okay, good talk. See you later. Just turn around and walk away.
It's like the infamous clip of the Yankees, Mike Mussina yelling at Joe Torre. He goes, no, I'm not coming out. And Torre goes, okay. He puts his hands up and goes right back in the dugout. But who's one of the best managers of all time?
Joe Torre. Brian Cashman. But it's also, you know.
Okay.
I know. That was sorry. Low blow.
That was a really low blow.
Nah, not true.
Don't you disparage the great number six.
Joe Torre is great. Joe Torre is only number six because Joe DiMaggio is a jerk. Just throwing that out there. Where was I going with this? Oh, I would just be too much gut, man. Last night, Julio Urias, you're killing it, dude. It's only a 3-1 game. Two outs in the bottom of the ninth. Bring in the lefty, Kershaw, please. I'm that guy. Yeah. I'm like, Kershaw.
Wrap this thing up for
us. Wrap this up for us, baby. Kershaw's like, I'm not even in the bullpen. I'm not even warm. He's like, well, get out there.
Kershaw gives up a 2-run home run.
Well, yeah, hey.
At least we got game 7 tomorrow. Oh, wait. We don't.
Yeah, I would have been pretty bad on that front. I don't know. It is tough, though, if you think about it, because gut is such an important thing. And I feel like baseball has so much gut attached to it. Would you say it has more gut than any of the other majors?
Other majors?
Yeah, other major sports. Yeah.
That, instantly, I was thinking of like golf. I was like, golf majors.
Well, I don't know. The Masters is a pretty gutty win. No, in the sense of like, because you don't really take guys out, it's like, it's the Super Bowl. You're down by 2 touchdowns and you're like, that was a gutsy call by Andy Reid leaving Patrick Mahomes in the game. And you're like,
I would say that, yes, it is the most gut-based manager/coach role in the major sports.
Yeah.
I would say that sometimes soccer is very, it's not a major four, but soccer is very gut-based in terms of lineup or formation or little tweaks you make.
Ask Ole Gunnar Solskjaer about Sir Alex having a gut feeling. I'm going to put that guy in.
And then I think also hockey has some of it as well.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of like,
I can see that.
Who's active for the game, who's on what line,
mm-hmm.
how long the rotations are, goalie changes, stuff like that.
I guess because baseball is much more stop and go, you kind of have that moment to really think about
it. There's a lot more thought. Yeah. I also think soccer, because of its pace, is also, you have a lot more time to think and tweak. But yes, it is baseball number one. Basketball, you put your best players out there, let them go. Maybe you draw some plays up. But, you know, it's pretty straightforward. Football. Right.
And if Bob Ori's open in the corner, you pass him the ball.
Right. Football, it's like, what is the gut outside of going for it on fourth? And even that's being stripped away because now there's, like, the book of, like, when do you go for two? When do you go for
it
on fourth?
Right,
you know, beyond that, it's pretty much like, hey, like, who's your best player? Patrick Mahomes? Okay, give him the ball and have him throw it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I would say baseball number one for sure, yeah. It is certainly the most. And I think that's why I don't want analytics to push so far in. Because it takes away a lot of the joy of baseball.
Yeah.
You know, baseball to me is so much about the little things. And a lot of the little things comes down to those little decisions, whether it's pitcher versus batter. You know, what pitch are you guessing on? What are they throwing? Are you shaking it off? Whether it's a stolen base, stuff like that.
One bang on the trash can or two bangs?
Yeah, it's really, really tough to make that decision. I like that. And when you take it away, it sterilizes the game. You know, that's why, although I complain about the umpires, because frankly, they deserve to be complained about, I don't want robot umps because it continues to sterilize the game.
No.
I like that there's a personality to that aspect of it. Do I want CB Buckner in the playoffs anymore? No, because he's terrible. I don't know why the MLB keeps putting him in there.
It's better than Angel Hernandez.
That is true, but that's not setting a very high bar.
Joe West.
Joe West was not in the playoffs this year, I don't think. But Tremaine, he's the new worst one. God, he has a terrible zone, and he has a super short fuse.
There was some really bad zones.
In the World Series.
There really were.
There was one guy, I remember, I forget what game it was. It was like game 2 or 3 of the World Series. Whoever that home plate umpire was, man, he was great. He was so on point.
I don't know his name was awesome, but these guys that I know their name, they suck.
I think he missed it maybe like 5 total pitches in the whole game, and they were close, right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is who I want in the playoffs. Give me more of this.
You like how I did that?
You wanted to not talk about Justin Turner until 8, so you stretched?
Yeah, I stretched because it wasn't going to be enough time.
No. This is like a two-segmenter right here, probably.
Yeah, probably. We come back, I got massive issues. Massive issues. I don't know who I hate more. The Dodgers, Justin Turner, Dave Roberts, or Major League Baseball? It's probably Major League Baseball, but you'll have to come around and figure that out. Second hour of the Hot Corner, coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.